Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Friday. Or as I like to say, Fri-yay. You have made it. The weekend is upon us all. It looks like it's going to be an absolutely beautiful weekend here in mid-Michigan. So enjoy it. Get out and about because it is September and that cooler weather will be coming sometime soon, right? Enjoy this weekend. It should be in the 70s and 80s all weekend. No rain, knock on wood, right? Sun will be shining, birds chirping, and it's a beautiful day today. It is Friday, September 14th, 2018. And we plan on ushering you all into the weekend with a very entertaining hour of sports talk coming your way. Of course, we've got a lot of football chatter here on today's Current Sports. We will tackle the outlook of college football here in week three now. Of course, your Michigan State football team will not be in action. That early bye, I think, is much needed. That's something that I did not believe would be much needed at the very beginning of the season. Early bye, and again, that all stems back to looking at the injuries for Michigan State football and the fact that Michigan State fell in a heartbreaking last-second loss on the West Coast at the hands of the Arizona State Sun Devils. So, frankly, they need this time to just kind of reflect, put things in perspective, get well when it comes to those injuries as they now prepare for Big Ten play come week four. So, with Michigan State not in action, we will discuss the SMU Mustangs and Michigan Wolverines matchup. Now, these are two teams that, you know, have not met up since like 1963. A long time. 55 years. The second matchup in 55 years. Can you believe that? The Michigan Wolverines are highly favored here. SMU does not have a great offense. And you look at that defense for Michigan, they should really have their way with the Mustangs. But you never know. It's college football, right? You know, that line is pretty hefty. I believe it's like 30-plus points right now. We'll discuss SMU and Michigan briefly. And then we will take a look at a wider look at the world of college football. We'll discuss number 13, LSU. At number 7, Auburn. Ohio State, number 4, against number 14, TCU. This will be the final game when that suspension for, I should say, and I use suspension very lightly, quote-unquote suspension, for head coach Urban Meyer of the Ohio State Buckeyes. We'll preview that matchup. That will be a Saturday night matchup on ABC in Arlington, Texas, at the home of my Dallas Cowboys, AT&T Stadium. How about that? All right, so we'll talk about Ohio State and TCU. Also, number 12, Washington at Utah. Vandy at number 8, Notre Dame. So we'll take a look at a few other games other than, of course, the SMU and Michigan game. So you don't want to miss that conversation. We will also, we got to do it, seeing as though they do play Sunday as they try to shake off the embarrassment that was Monday Night Football against the New York Jets. We will briefly discuss the Detroit Lions hitting the road to take on the San Francisco 49ers, trying to forget about one of the most embarrassing losses in Detroit Lions sports history. And we'll also have the swap meet with James Moore, who joins us each and every Friday here on Current Sports. James Moore, former Michigan State fullback great, former Rose Bowl champion, and also founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign. And he's also an assistant coach for head coach Rob Zimmerman's DeWitt Panthers, as the Panthers, I believe, will duel tonight against, I believe, Hazlitt. So, or excuse me, Holt. Holt will be at DeWitt. So that should be a pretty big game, and James will help preview that matchup as DeWitt, one of the best high school football programs on a yearly basis here in mid-Michigan. And we'll also get James's thoughts on the 1-1 start for Mark D'Antonio's Michigan State football team. So, all of that, while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can check out the live stream there and comment below that video, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, and tweet the show at WKAR_sports. And yeah, we also will talk about some pretty big news coming out of the camp of the Detroit Red Wings, as Henrik Zetterberg, that back injury, is now ending his hockey career. And we'll play a bit of that that press conference later on this hour as well. That and more, but hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your quick hit headliners. And you know what? Before I proceed here, because you know what? I've been getting some messages, as I let you all know. Many of you did not know that current sports production assistant Connor Mathis is from West Virginia, and he has family down there. And of course, or Virginia, not West Virginia. I'm sorry. His brother plays for West Virginia college, the college football team, as a kicker. But Connor, a lot of people didn't know that you were from that area. And of course, Hurricane Florence right now is It hit the U.S., I believe, this morning, I believe, officially. Is that correct?
Yeah, it really made landfall, like, later last night. So
okay.
People are starting to feel the effects in the Carolinas now.
Well, when I told our listeners that you are from Virginia, not West Virginia, you know, I got some messages out there asking about, you know, how you and the family are doing. So we talked before the show, and all is well right now, right? All is well. And that's a good thing. And it got leveled down from a Category 4 to now it's a Category 2?
It's a 1 now, actually.
It's a 1 now. And how is the family doing? So they're still there in the area?
It's not supposed to hit them until it's down to, like, a tropical depression. So basically just some thunderstorms, a lot of rain. My dad said that they're expected to get a ton of rain, and that's about it. No real bad winds or anything like that forecasted yet.
Okay. Great stuff, man. And good to hear that the fam is doing well, all right? And anybody who knows anybody down in that area getting hit by that hurricane right now, thoughts and prayers to you all. All right, tonight's local high school football lineup is as follows. Just a few games here that I want to highlight. Holt at DeWitt, as I mentioned. We'll have James Moore, assistant coach of the DeWitt Panthers, on the show to kind of preview that game. Waverly at Grand Ledge, Okemos at Lansing Everett, Fowlerville at Hazlitt, Eastern at Mason, St. John's at Williamston, Lansing Catholic at Ionia. More on local high school football again later on this hour. All right, the SMU Mustangs will travel to Ann Arbor to play the Michigan Wolverines at 3:30 p.m. tomorrow. That game can be seen on the Big Ten Network. SMU is currently on a 2-game losing streak, while Michigan is looking to get its second win of the season. For Michigan, the plan likely remains the same as last Saturday. Michigan's offensive line gained some confidence by physically dominating Western Michigan last week, and can add to that against SMU, which has given up nearly, get this, 460 yards per game this season. I could score on SMU. SMU's defensive front seven is better than Western Michigan's, however. Linebacker Kyron Mitchell is back from a productive junior year and has made plays already this year. But again, Michigan is highly favored in this game. It should be a walk in the park for the Wolverines. We'll have more on that matchup in just a moment. MSU Madness will be held on homecoming weekend, Friday, October 5th,
inside of the Breslin Center. The annual event marks the beginning of the 2018-19 season for both the MSU men's and women's basketball teams. Doors will open at 8:30 p.m. The program will begin at 9:30 p.m. The event will also begin with an autograph session from each team in the Breslin Center concourse. And, of course, introductions for the new rosters on each team. And you'll also get to see a scrimmage from both Susie Merchant and Tom Izzo squads. There will also be performances from the Spartan Marching Band and Drumline, MSU cheerleaders, dance team, and, of course, Sparty will be in the his house as well. The Spartan community will be officially introduced to five new men's basketball players: Marcus Bingham Jr., Thomas Kithier, Gabe Brown, Aaron Henry, and Foster Lawyer. While the women's basketball team adds three new faces: Kayla Bells, Nia Clouden, and Tori Osment. All right, the Michigan State women's soccer team, the Spartans, start their Big Ten play with a double OT tie. Oh, don't you just love ties in the world of soccer? Can you sense my sarcasm bleeding through your speakers right now? Yeah. It was a tie at Purdue last night. The Spartans held a 2-1 advantage before Purdue scored the equalizer on a rebound in the 87th minute. From the beginning, Purdue was the aggressor, finding opportunities to score in the first 20 minutes of the game, but freshman forward Cameron Evans scored MSU's first goal in the 16th minute with an assist from sophomore midfielder Daniel Steffen. Purdue responded in the 37th minute, tying the game 1-1. In the 49th minute, Evans runs past a Purdue defender and scores a breakaway goal, bringing the score to 2-1. With her second goal, Evans scores her fifth and sixth goals of the year for Michigan State. But at the end of the day, again, a tie between Michigan State and Purdue women's soccer, a game that did go to double overtime. All right, MSU men's soccer, the nation's number four college soccer team, Michigan State, is hitting the road this weekend for a pair of games away from home. Head coach Damon Rensing and the Spartans are unbeaten on the year with five wins and one tie and will play Yale today in New Haven, Connecticut at 7 p.m. The Bulldogs are 1-2 to start the year, and that game will be available to watch through ESPN+. The bigger test this weekend for MSU will come on Monday night away from home against number 8 Notre Dame, who have started their season 3-1. This is MSU's first ranked matchup of 2018 and should be the toughest test for the Spartans that the Spartans have faced just a month into their season. Kickoff for Monday's game will be 7 p.m. All right, after playing their first 10 matches on the road, Michigan State Volleyball will play at home for the first time this weekend inside of Jennison Fieldhouse. Kathy George and the Spartans have won their last 9 matches after a season-opening loss to Tennessee and face a trio of opponents inside Jennison over the next 2 days. The Auto Owners Insurance Spartan Invitational will feature Michigan State, Alabama, Brigham, Albany, and Western Michigan. Michigan State's matches start tonight at 7 p.m. with a matchup with 4-5 Albany before playing UAB at 11 a.m. tomorrow and Western Michigan at 4 p.m. on Saturday. All right, Michigan State University announced that they'd be hiring an outside law firm to assist former football coach and athletic director George Perlis after allegations made this week. MSU General Counsel Robert Young told the Lansing State Journal yesterday that Perlis would be receiving outside counsel after a lawsuit alleged Perlis was involved in covering up a rape allegation made against Larry Nassar back in 1992. Perlis is not named as a defendant in the suit. The 84-year-old Perlis joined the MSU Board of Trustees in 07 and has not commented publicly on the lawsuit filed by Erica Davis and initially reported by the Lansing State Journal on Tuesday. And yesterday's Current Sports brought to you the news that George's son, Pat, is defending his father. We will, of course, be following how all of that plays out. All right, the Detroit Red Wings and Henrik Zetterberg say his professional hockey career is over due to back problems. The team and Zetterberg made the announcement this morning at the team's training camp in Traverse City, Michigan. Zetterberg will go on long-term injured reserve with 3 years left on his 12-year, $73 million contract. The 37-year-old Swede will continue to be paid, and the team will get around $6 million in salary cap relief. Zetterberg helped the Red Wings hoist the 08 Stanley Cup, winning the postseason MVP award that year. He had 337 goals and 960 career points over 15 seasons and regularly was a candidate for the Selke Trophy, honoring the NHL's best defensive forward.
Well, I think he's one of the greatest Red Wing players in our history. You know, he's got, what, close to 950 points. He's played almost 1,100 games. He's almost a point of game player in the playoffs. You know, when you go to the history of the Red Wings, I think he's sixth or seventh in all time all time points and this and that. So he's one of the greatest Red Wing players in my opinion, and in the history of this franchise. And you know, in 2005, obviously, when coming out of the work stoppage, Steve Yzerman was, 40-ish, and Shanahan and Fedorov, basically Lidstrom and Zetterberg and Datsyuk carried this franchise for another decade. He carried the torch, obviously when Lidstrom retired, he became the captain. So he's one of the greatest Red Wing players, in my opinion, of this storied franchise.
Out a doubt. Again, general manager Ken Holland there on where he thinks Zetterberg ranks among the greatest Red Wing players of all time. We'll have more on Zetterberg's retirement, including his press conference later on this hour. You don't want to miss that. A pair of notable games in the NFL as last night's Thursday night football matchup between the Baltimore Ravens and Cincinnati Bengals was over in a hurry.
Big toss. Dalton to his right, end zone, touchdown, A.J. Green. Third down and two, here's a blitz, pass is caught, good catch, A.J. Green, foot race, his second of the game, touchdown Bengals. Good protection, pass is caught for the touchdown. Guess who? Number three, A.J. Green.
All of you guys are lucky. Those who have A.J. Green on their fantasy football teams. Connor, are you serious? You have A.J. Green. How many points did he get you last night?
He got me 22, and I have him with Julio Jones, so he offset Julio never scoring a touchdown.
Insane in the membrane. I'm incredibly jealous of you right now. A.J. Green, three touchdowns. Big first half for the Bengals, who held on at home 34-23. Green had five catches for 69 yards, three scores, as Cincy moves on to 2-0 on the year. After their big loss on Monday night, the Detroit Lions now must head out to the West Coast to take on Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Fran 49ers. On Sunday, a couple of injuries to keep an eye on. TJ Lang did not practice, and Ziggy Ansah did not do much at practice today. So it may take a big performance from Matthew Stafford and company to avoid an 0-2 start to the season. The Niners lost to Minnesota last week, 24-16, at the hands of course, former MSU quarterback, great Kirk Cousins, in that season opener. Kickoff from Levi Stadium scheduled for 4:05 p.m. San Francisco was currently a 6-point favorite in that one. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
the captain of your Detroit Red Wings, Henrik Zetterberg.
Yeah, a pretty sad moment for all of you Winged Will fans out there, as the Detroit Red Wings have announced officially that Henrik Zetterberg will be retiring. In 2014, Zetterberg underwent back surgery. He really hasn't been the same since. And, you know, this had been rumored for quite some time here in the offseason that he was contemplating retirement. He's just not healthy. Just not healthy. He's missed practices to really preserve the wear and tear on his back so that he would be possibly game ready. And, you know, he is the guy that players and coaches count on, a leader for this Detroit Red Wings team. And he leaves quite the legacy behind. And in just a moment, we're going to play the press conference from Henrik Zetterberg as he says goodbye to the Red Wings organization, at least as a player right now. He's 37 years old. He had been holding out hope that he would possibly be able to play again, and he just can't do it. Zetterberg played in all 82 games over each of the past three seasons. He had 11 goals and 45 assists in 2017-18 as the Wings, of course, missed the playoffs for the second straight year. And as I mentioned, the two-time All-Star took home the Conn Smythe Trophy in 08 as Detroit won the Stanley Cup. In 2015, he was honored with the King Clancy Memorial Trophy, which recognizes a player's leadership and also humanitarian efforts. So a sad day in Detroit professional sports. And just real briefly here before we talk some college football, and again, we'll be playing that press conference from Zetterberg, our in-house hockey expert. My man, 50 grand, Jack Kerwin, now joins us here in Studio S to just kind of put in perspective his emotions and the emotions of the majority of Detroit Red Wings fans out there upon hearing the news that Henrik Zetterberg indeed will be retiring at the age of 37. Jack, first off, happy Friday, my man. How you doing?
Good to see you, Al. Always a pleasure.
Always, man. I know you're a hockey nut, and you are a Detroit Red Wings fan, right?
Absolutely.
Your thoughts on Henrik Zetterberg, you know, announcing his retirement today. I have not seen the press conference. You got a chance to see it. You actually cut it up for us. We'll be running that in just a moment. I'm pretty sure it was very emotional for him. But this isn't something that was a secret, you know, leading up to this in the past few weeks, right?
No, and you know what? I guess for me as a fan, that's probably why it's a little bit less emotional, just because this entire summer, you know, it had been going back till Ken Holland said basically June he reached out to Zetterberg first, and Zetterberg said at that point he still hadn't been able to work out throughout the summer, and Coach Jeff Blashill said last week Zetterberg hadn't been able to train at all, you know, throughout the summer. So it had kind of been a long time coming. Any Red Wing fan who had been closely following this situation knew it had been announced already that he wouldn't be available to start the year. And kind of from there, you could tell that he was probably done as a Red Wing. Mm-hmm. So I guess that probably makes it a little bit less emotional, but, you know, 960 points and over 1,100 games in the Winged Wheel. So, you know, he's one of the great ones.
Pretty amazing. And so, Jack, I mean, with Zetterberg leaving the team now, I mean, financially, where does this put the Detroit Red Wings? What kind of room does this give them to work with?
So it's going to have to go through the NHL first. He's going to have some sort of physical there, and I mean, he'll clear it for sure. They're going to basically say that he's not healthy enough to play. So from there, he'll be placed onto long-term IR, and they'll get about $6 million in cap relief. Mm-hmm. Johan Franzen retired a couple of years ago citing concussions. It's the same deal.
Okay.
So he's still owed the money from the team, but it doesn't count against the cap, basically.
So what do you think they'll do with that kind of wiggle room, $6 million?
Well, right now, I mean, free agency's come and gone. So for this season, right, not a whole lot. They're going to have a lot next year anyway. They're going to have around $20 million. I don't know if that number goes up to about $26 now with Zetterberg being out, but either way. So next summer, the Red Wings are going to have a lot of wiggle room.
What is the legacy of Henrik Zetterberg? You look at his career.
Well, Holland kind of summed it up. You know, him and Datsyuk were really the two guys that kind of preserved the streak, if you will, for another decade, just because how uncharacteristic it is to be a winning franchise for 25 straight years. Because even when you get a great core of players in any type of sport, you know, they're only going to be effective for 10 to 15 years. And then at that point, you're probably going to have to rebuild it, right? Because, you know, you've been so successful and therefore you're drafting late and it's hard to get, you know, high rate players, you mm-hmm. know, drafting in later slots. So, you know, European scouting was a big thing in the late 90s and early aughts. And that kind of led to a big thing for the Red Wings, I should say, not a big thing in the NHL. And that led to them being able to draft Pavel Datsyuk in the 6th round and Zetterberg in the 7th round.
Right.
And kind of preserve the legacy of the Red Wings. And he followed in the footsteps of first Steve Yzerman and then Nick Lidstrom. And then it was Henrik Zetterberg as the captain of the Red Wings. So he was a fantastic leader and he pretty much did everything right on and off the ice.
Why not? Let's go to it right now. This press conference, Jack, I'm assuming was at Little Caesars Arena? No, it wasn't. Where was it at?
Traverse City. Yeah, for training camp.
We did say that in the headliners. It was in Traverse City, Michigan. When did he take the podium? It was this morning?
It was this morning, yep.
This morning. Let's play you the press conference from Henrik Zetterberg as he officially announces his retirement from the game of hockey and the Detroit Red Wings organization.
How emotional did you get once the final realization hit you that, all right, I can't do this anymore?
I think for me, I kind of been living this for a while. Starting in January last year, I knew something was not quite right, and find a way to play through that season. But kind of mid-summer here, when we hoped that it was going to get a little bit better, and it kind of wasn't. So obviously, I went to see Dr. Kamisa here last week, and got the final result, and nothing really have changed. So that's kind of when it kicked in.
What's that moment like for you?
Obviously, it is emotional. You know, it's been, I don't know, 15 years here. And even though I knew that I was on my last couple of years, but, you know, I wish that I could play a little bit longer.
When you have that conversation with your wife, is she delighted because she's not seeing you go through everything you've gone through? What's it like in the house?
Well, I think it's also mixed emotions. You know, I think Detroit and Red Wings has been such a big part of her life for the last, you know, 15 years for me, 11 for her. So we've been spending all, basically, our grown-up life over here. You know, we have an American son, so it is mixed. But she has seen me, too, going through what I've gone through. So, you know, I think she's happy to that I don't have to do that, but in the same way, I think also she knows that I want to play, and so she probably want me to play too.
Henrik, what are you proudest of when you look back on your career?
I'm not sure, but I think that I didn't see myself last this long, probably, you know, when I got drafted back in, I don't know, 99 as a 7th round pick, been through that, all the good things and some low things during my career, but, you know, being in one organization for the whole time, being named the captain for this organization, I think that's obviously something special, so there's a lot of things. I think also you probably kick in a little bit soon, like, or later, when you look back to it. I think now it's just I don't know, it's kind of surreal, you know, standing here and talking about them done playing. But but I've obviously been through a lot, played with some great teammates, had some great teams throughout the years, and in all way, winning the cup probably is the highlight. But also, I thought we had some great teams around that too, and in 09 I thought we, you know, we were close that year too. So but I would say all the guys that I probably played with throughout the years, you know, that's you made some special bonds with a lot of players.
And towards the end of the season last year, the last few games of the season, were you kind of did you kind of think that maybe those were going to be your last games, and were you kind of savoring the last moments at all?
A little bit. You know, I thought the last game, it was a pretty good chance that I would be the last one. So I think the people close to me knew that.
What are the chances of getting
to the worst? Like,
around mid-season or something?
Yeah, I think in January, that's probably when I stopped practicing. That's when it kind of went south. But nothing really new, though. It was kind of the same thing that's been going on, but it's just got worse.
What did you have to talk to any of your teammates about this?
Yeah, you know, I that had kind of been the tough part, too, for everyone. Most of the guys probably saw this coming. But obviously now when it's official, you know, I'm glad I'm up here. Spend some time with them.
What's next for you? What are you going to do with all this time?
I don't know. You know,
he'll
be happy. But I don't know. You know, we'll see what happens here. Probably going to sit down with Kenny and Blash and see what's next.
Do you plan on staying in the U.S. or moving back to Sweden? Or
no, we're staying here. We're staying here. We started school here last week, so you know, we're gonna stick around.
You think you want to stay in hockey in some form, some way?
It's too early to say here. Yeah, you know, right now I'm still, you know, I still feel like I'm playing, so it's hard to see what's the next step is.
Henrik, did you talk to, I don't know, guys like Steve or guys who, you know, had significant injuries and weighing quality of life long term versus wanting to play? Did you reach out to anybody who's been through a similar thing? Or?
Well, I when you talk to retired guys, there are not a lot of guys that walk away, you know, themselves, except Nick. So most of the guys, you know, have injuries, and that's kind of what's the reason why they have to stop playing. So you talk about that, but I think also I know too. I got to know my body pretty well the last couple of years, and I know when it's bad, and I don't have that many more solutions to do with my back. So it's time.
How difficult as it may be, are you at peace with this decision, of sense of relief, or are you just greatly disappointed?
Both, you know. Like, I'm happy with what I've accomplished. You know, it's but in the same way, I would love to play, you know, playoff hockey at LCA. You know, I would, you know, get that chance. You know, we have a really interesting group of guys here. You know, young guys and that. We saw the last few years been taking steps, and it would be fun to be with them a little bit longer. But I don't know. I'm just going to watch and support them.
Did 1,000 points factor into your decision, getting to 1,000?
You know, 960 or what it is. You know, I'm pretty pleased with that too.
Your absence obviously is going to leave a leadership void on the team. Who do you see kind of stepping in, some of the guys that can help fill that?
Well, you know, I think that the leadership group we have is strong. You know, the assistant captains, we have some, you know, some younger guys that's been here for a while. And I think that's it's always been that here. You know, one player has to see on the jersey, but we have a lot of leaders. So I'm not sure really what's going to happen this year, but we have guys that can take over.
Which teammate took it the hardest? Cornwall? I mean, you two or?
I don't know. You probably have to ask them. But I think Croner has been the one that's been closest to me. So he I don't think he is that surprised that this happened.
What are you going to miss the most about playing for this organization?
I just playing in front of the fans. I think we have the greatest fans in the league. You know, everywhere we go, we have you know, they're supporting us even in the rougher times. But so that's probably it. You know, just preparing for games and being, you know, playing hockey and then you're just gonna miss the guys. You know, miss that life that I basically been doing for the last 20 years.
The last season, or the last couple of years, I mean, were there any games at all that you weren't feeling pain? I mean, how many nights did you come miss come close to saying I can't go tonight? I mean, just too much pain.
There was a few close calls, I think. In mornings, we probably thought I wouldn't come and play, but found a way to get out there. But all the way up till January, I felt pretty good. You know, like it's basically what I've been dealing with the last 2-3 years. So it's nothing really more than that. But it was after that when I couldn't really practice either. That's you can't just play games.
Ken said it's degenerative. Is your back going to get worse regardless of you not playing, or are you fairly confident your quality of life is? I mean, are you able to pick up your son? Are you able to?
Yeah. Obviously, you know, if I, keep doing the right things, hopefully I will feel pretty good. You know, me playing, you know, I think that's the. When you have nerves involved, you know, that's kind of shutting down some of your muscles, and that kind of gets iffy sometimes when you're on ice. But walking around normal life, you know, I'm pretty decent.
I'm here to tell you, as you get older, you won't start. You won't keep doing the right thing. I'm here to testify to that.
You have good people around you that fix you up. You know, I think that's and also you, it becomes your normal. You know, you learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about your body, and you know what to do to get a little bit better, and you know, find a way to get out there.
Kenny said that you haven't spoken to the entire team yet. Have you thought about what you're going to say?
Yeah, I'm pretty certain what I'm going to say, but you know, I'll keep that to them.
All right, again, Henrik Zetterberg actually taking a media scrum style interview upon his announcement of course, his retirement from the Detroit Red Wings. His back just is not the same, and he just can't go again. And Jack, you're still with us here in Studio West here. How many surgeries has Zetterberg had? I mean, you said he's had several. We were talking off the air just a minute ago. He's had several surgeries, right?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you exactly. It actually might have only been one surgery, but he was playing with a herniated disc for a long time.
Okay.
Like, he was playing through a herniated disc, so...
I tell you, back injuries, man, they are arguably the worst injuries you can get. And they can certainly end a career. But Zetterberg has had a great career, without a doubt. I think she went for the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Without a doubt. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk some college football. We'll take a brief look at SMU in Michigan and a wider look at some of the more sexier games of the college football slate for tomorrow. And, yeah, we'll talk about your Honolulu Blue, the Detroit Lions, trying to shake off that Monday Night Football loss against the New York Jets as they hit the road to take on Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. Now, that's one of my favorite hip-hop joints of all time. Favorite? Oh, you're killing it with that one, Connor. Killing it with that one, man. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just played to you the media scrum interview of Henrik Zetterberg, who has decided to retire from the Detroit Red Wings due to his back just not being what it used to be. 37 years old, he will certainly be missed. Quite the legacy in Detroit Red Wings history that he now leaves behind. Let's talk some college football now. Take a look at a few games that will be of interest to you, seeing as though your Michigan State football team will not be in action in early week 3 bye. Real quick, SMU at Michigan. The spread is set at 35 in favor of the Michigan Wolverines. Connor, you think Michigan covers that? That's a pretty big spread. 35, even though... You know, and the reason why it's set there is because SMU is just so bad. Do you think Michigan covers that?
I don't think so. I mean, for as bad as SMU's been, they hung in with TCU for a half and change. I mean, I don't think it'll be a 30-point win. I think Michigan's still going to win. They should win big. But I think SMU can at least make it, like, not a complete massacre.
So you think that Michigan it will not cover that spread?
No,
you think SMU,
I don't think so.
Okay, well, if with that being said, how much do you think SMU loses by to the Wolverines?
I'd say about probably 21, 24.
Okay. In the 20s. You know, this game is interesting because, you know, this is the first time that these two teams have met since 1963. That's a long time. That's 55 years. Again, it's not expected to be that close. Five touchdown favorite for the Wolverines, again, at 30-plus points, 35 to be exact. You know, the new-look Mustangs under head coach, you know, Sonny Dykes, just off to a nightmarish start to this season. Consecutive blowout losses to North Texas, and as you just mentioned, TCU, Connor. SMU allowed more than 40 points in both contests, and that offense just looks horrendous. I looked at some of the footage from both losses against North Texas and TCU, and that offense just, I don't think there's any hope there. You know, after 2 weeks, SMU ranks 126th in the country, averaging just 249 yards of offense per game. That number has to increase if the Mustangs are going to even flirt with a bowl game in 2018, Connor. I that's the big thing for me. I think Michigan can cover this. 35, you know, you have that defense that is pretty solid. You know, that Don Brown-led defense, it is solid. You know, with the exception of course, the Notre Dame game. I just don't think that SMU has a shot in this matchup. And I think the Wolverines want to send a message now, knowing that later on this season, you know, they don't have an opportunity for a while to really send any kind of a statement when it comes to knocking off a ranked opponent or a big dog, so to speak. So you look at this SMU game, and the Wolverines know that if they want to send a message that they deserve to be at least in the conversation of a possible playoff, or even, for that matter, a conference championship going to Indy, you have to blow out teams like this. And I think they want to send a message against SMU that you don't deserve to be in the conversation with us. I mean, they did it, you know, against in-state rival last week, 49-3. And I think Saturday will be yet another turn-up performance against a lowly Mustang squad. So I'm taking Michigan to actually cover in this game. That will be a 3:30 p.m. kickoff. You can catch that one on the Big Ten Network. So, again, Sonny Dykes and that offense, just horrible. So, and also wide receivers back in this game. You know, you look at Nico Collins nabbing a 44-yard touchdown pass from quarterback Shea Patterson. That will be the first of two touchdowns for Michigan wideouts. His fellow sophomore Donovan Peoples-Jones also caught a TD pass late in the third quarter in that win over Western Michigan University. Now, with those two touchdowns, Michigan receivers are now, what, one score away from matching the total from all of last season with three. So this is a great opportunity for Michigan to roll on this year in the season with some confidence. Now, other notable games to watch, LSU and Auburn. You know, this is going to be an intriguing game on a lot of levels. You know, a battle for supremacy in the hyper-competitive SEC West. This all-Tiger affair. I think this is going to be close. And right now, I think when you look at the line, the last time I saw this line, I believe it was in favor of Auburn by 10. Yeah, Auburn is right now a 10-point favorite in this game. I would take LSU all day when it comes to that, Connor. I think that the Tigers have a golden opportunity here to knock off Auburn, even though I think Auburn's going to win this game. I think it's going to be very, very close. Who are you taking in this game and why?
I'd take Auburn. I'm not completely sold on the LSU hype train just yet. I don't think the spread is going to be... I don't think it's going to be a 10-point game. I think it's probably going to be a one possession type deal, like maybe like a last second touchdown drive, a last second field goal, that things of that nature.
Right.
I mean, I'm not sold on LSU yet, but I mean, this is a good chance for the Tigers and Baton Rouge to prove that they are legit, that they are back from kind of the middle of the pack that they've kind of been dwelling in the last couple of seasons.
I think it's going to be very competitive. I think that, you know, looking at the low scoring escape against Washington, you know, Auburn was able to work out some offensive kinks against Alabama State last week. Even so, quarterback Jarrett Stidham isn't likely to get much ground support against linebacker Devin White and that stout LSU front. I'm kind of torn on this. Again, when looking at that 10-point spread, I take LSU when it comes to the spread. I still think Auburn is going to win in a very close affair, though, probably like 3 points. Jack, you got any thoughts on this game? Again, LSU and Auburn, number 13 versus number 7. That will be a 3:30 p.m. kick time tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what? I got the Tigers in this one. I don't really trust the Tigers.
Okay.
And you know, no, in all seriousness.
you're right either way with that, right?
In all seriousness, no, I think you hit it right on the head. LSU to cover, Auburn to win.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be really close. All right. This game is going to be the game, I think. When it comes to the night slate, I mean, ABC is going to really hype this one up. It's going to take place at the home of my Dallas Cowboys, AT&T Stadium, Arlington, Texas, number 4 Ohio State versus number 14 TCU. So, you look at this game, and first off, I think when it comes to the crowd, you know, Ohio State fans travel. You may see more scarlet and gray, even though this is going to take place in Texas, you know, TCU, right? I think you may see more Ohio State fans in the his house for this one come tomorrow night. But I think Ohio State is just on another level right now. I think, don't get me wrong, I think TCU is good. And, you know, as far as the playoff picture is concerned, the Big 12 right now looks like, you know, a one Sooner pony, if I should say, right? It really does. I'm going with Ohio State in this matchup. TCU will have to hope that its defense, featuring linebackers Rico Evans and Alec Dunham, can really limit big plays. And quarterback Sean Robinson is going to have to bring it for TCU. You know, he's going to need that mobility to really play a big factor in this game as well, especially if you want to stay clear of a Buckeye defensive end, Nick Bosa. I'm going Ohio State in this game. This also is going to be a really close one, I think. Connor?
I think that Ohio State's going to run away with it. I don't trust TCU. I mean, I watched that. Like I said, I was talking about SMU and TCU. I watched the first half of that game, and granted, there was some weather conditions, but TCU for the entire first half looked like they were lost and confused, and you cannot do that against Ohio State because they will just eat you alive. I don't think TCU honestly is ready for Ohio State at all. I think this is an overhyped matchup. I'd almost rather watch Auburn and LSU because this, I don't think TCU has a chance.
Okay, Ohio State right now, they sit as 13-point favorites in this game. Jack, Ohio State and TCU before we hit our final break here.
Yeah, for sure. I got the Buckeyes to cover that as well. You know what? The one part I think where they've kind of looked sloppy through two games without Urban Meyer is defensively, mm-hmm. allowing 31 points in week one against Oregon State. I can't remember how many they allowed last week in week two, but I guess that's kind of been the one thing that stood out to me in Urban Meyer's absence. But their offense is firing on all cylinders. And Haskins has certainly been more accurate than JT Barrett was last year.
Right.
So give me the Buckeyes for sure, and I mean, I'd pick them to cover 12.5, absolutely.
I'm curious, looking at the slate, I don't know if you guys looked at the entire slate of college football right now. Other than those games we just discussed, is there like a game that you're really looking at as a possible upset? I tell you what, Vandy and Notre Dame, just watch that game. I think Vandy can make that really interesting. I'm not high on Notre Dame. If you look at Brandon Wimbush, right, and that performance that he had in game one against the Wolverines, he has not looked great other than that game. I'm just saying. I know, Jack, you give me a look. I'm just saying, watch that matchup, okay?
Well, the reason I'm giving you that look is because we were talking after the Michigan-Notre Dame game, and you were pumping Brandon Wimbush's tires so hard. After one game, you're off the bandwagon?
But look at the ratio. He's got one TD pass.
I understand. Yep.
To four picks. After that game, I'm like, whoa, where have you gone, Brandon Wimbush?
Back to last year.
Yeah, right? It's like snap back to reality. To steal a line from Eminem, the great Eminem. All right, but yeah, watch Vandy and Notre Dame. That's my pick there. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, We'll bring James Moore, former fullback, great for the Michigan State football team, Rose Bowl champion, founder of Speaking with the Purpose. We'll have the swap meet with James Moore to end this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. To close out this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, we want to bring on now via phone my man, James Moore, former fullback great for the 1988 Rose Bowl Championship Michigan State football team, founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign. And we, of course, have taken that acronym, SWAP, and we bring to you a weekly segment entitled The SWAP Meet with James Moore, where James just breathes some new life into all of you out there heading into the weekend, brings to you some positive words of encouragement. And also we get an update, seeing as though James, I mean, he does it all. He is an assistant coach for Rob Zimmerman's DeWitt Panthers high school football team. The Panthers taking on Holt tonight. We get a preview on the week that is DeWitt high school football as well. James, how you doing?
Fantastic, Al. How you doing today, buddy?
Always good chatting with you. A fitting way to close out this Friday edition of Current Sports, having you on. First off, my friend, I want to get your thoughts on Michigan State football start to the season, the 1-1 start, the loss to Arizona State last week. I'm sure you've seen it. Fans who are kind of overreacting a bit, in my opinion, and saying that, oh my goodness, the wheels are totally off the track. Michigan State football has a lot of problems to fix. How are they going to compete in the Big Ten East as the season rolls along and the interconference play next week on the road at Indiana? What do you say to all of that criticism?
Well, I say, you know what, it's just day two, and Arizona State was the king. Don't get me wrong. Our first half was kind of shaky. I mean, we played well. We didn't play well. Okay, let me say that. We're in a good zone. We tied. We got to score more. Okay? Bottom line. All right? We got to be better.
Oh, James, you kind of you're breaking up on us just a little bit. I don't know where you are right now, but the phone reception is a little.
Is that better?
That's perfect. That's perfect. Yep.
Okay. We got to be better in the red zone. All right?
Right.
I mean, yes, it was just the second game of the season. But we got to do better to be competitive in the Big Ten. All right. The second half. I mean, you know, one thing I have to say is we do miss my buddy Holland Barnett. Okay, that defense got to step it up.
So you're not big on that defense, and I think the secondary, and we've kind of highlighted this throughout the week as well. I mean, Josiah Scott being out. I tell you what though, that defense. I mean, if you would have told me before that game, began. That Michigan State would only give up 16 points, who you taking? I would have taken Michigan State to win that game. I thought the defense.
Oh, I would have too. Right? Would have too. Don't get me wrong. They did okay. I mean, they did well. But, I mean, it boils back down to that offense. I mean, we're in the red zone. We have to score.
Mm-hmm.
Touchdown. Not
right.
Field goals.
Exactly.
Okay?
Right.
Just that simple.
And I tell you what, N'Keal Harry, he just made one heck of a play over Justin Lane. I mean, N'Keal Harry showed why he's the best wide receiver in the nation.
He's one of the greatest receivers in the league right now playing, okay?
Yeah.
And we shut him down the first half. But, you know, when you're a great receiver, you don't get shut down for the whole game. And that's what happened. That was a great catch.
That's very true. All right. Well, I want to, as we come up on just 4 minutes left here, James, I want you to just briefly talk about how the season has gone thus far for the DeWitt Panthers, a team in which you are an assistant coach under Coach Rob Zimmerman. You all are 3-0. You are coming off a just shutout win over the Okemos Chiefs, 39-0 last week, Friday. You beat Grand Rapids Christian to start the season, 22-10. Wall Lake Northern, 49-14 in week two, and now you will play Holt tonight, a CAAC Blue matchup, your second of the season. Just your assessment of the season thus far and a brief preview of tonight.
Well, you know what? The kids are ready to play. we have this model right now that we're going to take one game at a time. We're in a new division this year, new looks, new a lot of teams don't know us, and we have a lot to prove. And that's what the coaching staff, Coach Zim, and the coaching staff is letting the kids know, that we got to go out there and let these guys know what the Witt Panther football is all about. And that's what we're doing. Just following our footsteps like we did last week and go out and play our game and not change anything, but just keep it the Witt Panther football.
And I know you all are highly favored in this game. You know, Holt, looking at the season that they have thus far, I mean, they are 1-2 on the year. They are coming off a win, though, against Traverse City West. That was a 14-7 win. What are you expecting from Holt tonight?
They gotta come out and play hard. You know, the talk around the new division is, yeah, we're not gonna let DeWitt come in here and do what they did, you know, in the other division. Okay, we're bigger schools, and you know what? That's all right. We're coming to play our game. We're not trying to prove that nobody. We're just gonna do what we do and go out and play football and have fun and win.
There you go. That's the goal, right, James? All right.
Goal.
Anything you want to say to our listeners? Of course, this is a swap meet where you kind of breathe some positive words to our listeners. Anything you want to say to our listeners out there?
I just want to let everybody know, everybody's going through something, and the key is, with a positive attitude, you can succeed in life and everything. With a negative attitude, you won't succeed at nothing. I've been going through some things with work and my personal life, and you know what? It's always somebody out there worse off dealing with, you know, than what you're dealing with. So just keep your head up, keep a positive attitude, and things will be all right. It's all in God's hands, and God will take care of all on His time, not our time.
James Moore, thank you so much. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Okay, you too, my buddy. All right.
Swap meet with James Moore. All right, real quick, favorite moment of the week. Do you have one, Connor? Favorite sports story or a moment we haven't gotten to? Anything?
My favorite sports story has been Lions Twitter going nuclear after getting killed by Darnold. So that was my favorite moment of the week. There was a lot of great hot takes.
Yeah, you can say that again, right? I almost lost my cool on the show earlier this week. Do the Lions beat the 49ers? I'm going with the Lions. Call me crazy. Lions win on Sunday, baby.
Absolutely not.
All right, you're not buying in. Jack, anything? Reflection Friday?
Yeah, Steve Yzerman stepping down from the Lightning. He's coming home, baby. Go Wings.
There you go. All right, have a great weekend. If you're traveling, be safe. Enjoy the weather. All right. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your week. I'm your host, Al Martin. Be easy, people.